Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, it's Tuesday at 2:07, and I want to apologize to everybody for being a little bit late today. We like to do this show every Tuesday at 2 p.m., and I've been doing it on weird days of the week because I've been busy a lot. I'm going to do it Tuesday at 2 p.m. this week and hopefully next week. This week, we didn't have a whole lot of questions, but I kept getting the question over and over and over, what's going to happen with the Middle Fork? I have a launch on June 12th. Can I go? Am I going to fly in? What are the rapids like? What's the weather going to be? All these questions. And so I'm going to do my very best to kind of give my take on what I think is going to happen on the Middle Fork. But I just want to preface this with, it's going to be hard because I don't know. I just don't know things. I'm going to give my guesses in today's show. So today's live show is just to talk about the Middle Fork a little bit. But before we do, here's our little thing for the day. I want to talk about bettermounts.com. And this is a new company that is selling better raft mounts. And I've been buying some of their frames. I just took one out today, one of the frames out for the first time. And Thomas, who's doing this, is making some really cool stuff. And these rails, these crossbars, for example, he makes some that are, they're all lighter than NRS ones, but you can get stronger or lighter. Sorry, I have something in my throat right now. I'm talking a little funny. You can make them stronger or lighter. You can choose all kinds of lengths. You can get different diameters. NRS only makes one diameter. You can get, the thicker one is 1.5 inch. I get a little confused sometimes. There's a lot of choices. And he's just making a lot of cool products. The coolest thing lately are these ore towers. I just ordered a few. I like that there's two screws holding them on, two U-bolts. Let me see if I can find a different picture of it. So the NRS ones have just one U-bolt. This one has two, and it holds them on better. There's double the friction. Anytime a boat flips with NRS ore towers, if the ore towers hit a rock, they bend over. So when you flip it back over, they're not ready to go. These ones may not bend over. I don't know. Who knows? But I'm going to get some out and try them. I'm super jazzed that there's just more cool products coming out. And just want to point out just some cool things that has umbrella holders, a new seat mount that, it's, different than the NRS one. The thing I don't like, and it's not a big deal, is that I like, so he put it on so that you screw the mount on separate than the seat. So for those of you that don't know, the NRS one, you have to, let me see how this goes. In order to pull it off and on the bar, you have to pull the seat off and on too, because of the way the U-bolts work. This one, the seat attaches to the mount, and you can quickly pull the seat and mount off and on, or adjust it, right? On the NRS one, if you want to adjust it, you have to pull the whole seat off of the mount, which when you screw it back in, if you cross-thread one of those bolts, you trash the seat. It's actually a major bummer. I've broken lots of seats because I've cross-threaded them, pulling them off and on. Well, this one, you don't do that. The downside, though, is this can't really rest on a tube, so that your seat mount has to be center mounted over air. You could rest on a tube, but I think the friction between the mount and the raft isn't awesome. So if you're never resting your frame on a tube, like you're not using this in the stern, no big deal. The NRS one, the advantage is you can put on a tube because the little U-bolt is so thin, it's not a big deal. The disadvantage, again, is anytime you want to make an adjustment, you got to pull the seat off, which is a major hassle. I know that's a lot of information. We're getting in the weeds here, but I don't know. He's just making really good stuff, and I just would encourage people to support a small business that's making cool stuff. I don't get any sponsorship from him. Sometimes he sends me a new crossbar. Sent me a crossbar that was thicker to test out. I tested out today, but I just like his stuff. I want to point out he's doing cool things. Oh, look, I even left a review. I especially like the heavy duty crossbar. Yeah. So I left a review, and yeah, he's making really good things. So anyway, check out bettermounts.com. And with that, we'll get into the show. And I'll have a few. I'll talk about the Middle Fork. I have one question I want to answer. If you're watching and have questions, put them in the comments, because this show is going to end real quick if there's no additional questions or comments, which is fine. But this Middle Fork talk might go pretty quick. And The question I'm getting over and over and over is some flavor of this. I'm getting texts, Facebook messages, calls, basically asking me some version of this question, which is, my friend has a permit. I have a permit on the Middle Fork. What's going to happen at Velvet? What's going to happen at Hell's Half Mile? Can I do it? Am I good enough? What about my 14-foot boat? Is it class 5? Is it class 4? And unfortunately, I don't know. I don't know what the weather's going to do. I don't know what the rapid's going to do. I don't know the answer to these questions. And I run a business, and I have to go run trips here pretty soon. Our first trip is in like 10 or 12 days. And I don't know. And so I honestly don't know what's going to happen, because nobody knows, because it's Mother Nature, because these were landslides that blocked the river that have new rapids, and it changed it. And when you got a permit, and let's say you got your permit in whatever, January, you applied for a permit, I hope you were aware of this. I hope you were following all the chatter that's happening all over the place, that there were three big landslides and the Middle Fork had changed. And there was a chance, a good chance, that it wasn't just going to be this like class 3+ float that it normally is. If you knew about the landslides and you just assumed to be fine, and you applied for a permit, now you're like, oh, it's not fine. What am I going to do? It's not good form, honestly. I don't know. It's just not good form. Like, this is a dynamic river that had change, and you should have expected this change to happen, or that the rapids not to be clear, or there to be wood, or there's not to be a picnic. And there's no answer. This is Mother Nature. Like, it's going to change, and there could be the high water coming through right now. And I'll try to pull up the flow here. See if I can get the flow gauge. This is my Middle Fork flow page. And I don't even know what the flow was supposed to peak today. It looks like it peaked about just over 5.5 feet. That could bring more wood down. It could make it totally impassable. Like right now, the river could be, people ran it last week in oar boats, but right now, cause the water came up, it could be completely dangerous and impassable. We don't know. And it looks like another peak is happening on June 10th. That's what's predicted. The predictions are always true. It could also rearrange things. The rapids can change more. So nothing that I can tell you now is the answer. Like, I don't know what the river's going to do. For me, I have a trip launching June 16th. I'm just working under the assumption that we can hopefully launch from Boundary Creek. But if we can't, we're flying everything into Indian Creek. That's in my back pocket. Like, everything, guests, boats, food, everything. And yeah, it's expensive. It's an expensive thing to do, and I may have to do it. And you may have to as well, because we don't know after this peak. And let's see, it looks like it might peak again on the 9th or 10th. And again, these are predictions. They're not always right. But honestly, we won't know much until the water drops a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to even make a decision here until probably June 11th at the latest, once I've heard of people running the rapid and making sure it's clear, but it's going to be dropping every day, and the rapids will be more exposed every day. We just don't know. So I guess my answer to those of you that want to know what's going to happen on the Middle Fork, is it class 5? Is this going to happen? That answer doesn't exist, at least in my opinion. Maybe somebody else can tell you what's going to happen, but it's Mother Nature. It's part of what we do as boaters, is going to Mother Nature. Now, I also want to be clear, it's not going to be class 3. Almost for sure, this is not going to be like a class 3 river. If you've done the Middle Fork 100 times and you're really good at class 3 and memorizing lines, it's a different river now. Like, just because everybody's doing it, the people that are doing it now are probably boaters, people who know how to read water, know how to scout, know how to make decisions, know how to run rapids they've never seen, people that push end pull when they run rapids and downstream ferry. And so even if other people are doing it, these rapids could be class 4 right now. They could be class 5. I don't know. I haven't been there. I won't go there until I go in June. So, and we don't know, like, again, people are running it now. Maybe they're class 4 rapids. Maybe they're, I don't know what they are now. They may not be that. They probably won't be the same a week from now. So this is a very long way of me saying the answer to this question that I'm getting over and over and over is, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. If somebody does know, chime in, tell us the answer. So like, are rafts getting through? Yeah, rafts have gotten through. Doesn't mean they will be getting through after this latest high water. Are they portaging? I think some people are portaging. Is it a class five move? It depends how you rate class five. And maybe it's not class five right now, but it could be class five next week because we just really don't know. Is the walk and park by then? I don't know. I can't predict the future. I really don't know. I'd love to give them a little heads up of some sort. So, okay, so here's the heads up. I'm just going to sum this up. If you have a middle four permit at some time in the future, let's say the next month, the heads up should be, it could be anywhere from class three plus to class five to a portage. It will be dangerous. There's wood all along the river. Like if you make a wrong move, if you're pushing a move you shouldn't push because you push everything and you get up sideways to a log, you could wrap on a log, you could have a fatality, you could have a serious injury. It's actually fairly dangerous because there's wood in the river and there's new rapids. The rapids are going to change. And so the heads up is you should probably plan on flying everything in. That would be the heads up. If you are some hotshot like class four boater, class five boater, and you have, you know, good gear, good skills, a good team around you, people who run tight boat spacing, run tight boat order, can make decisions about rapids, are good boaters. Let's say you're a class four plus team. Yeah, you'll probably be okay. Again, I don't know. I don't want to say that because I don't know what's going to happen in the rapids, but yeah. But if you are, you know, somebody who boats class three, the main salmon, the rogue, the middle fork, once in a while you do class three day trips and you memorize these rivers and you don't have the ability to read water or make good decisions, this isn't probably the right time to do the middle fork from Boundary Creek to Indian. So hopefully that makes some sense. It's a very long way of saying, I don't know. I really don't know. It's sort of like predicting the flow in the Oahe. I don't know. I can't predict the future. I'm still kind of waiting to see what happens. I have a trip June 16th. I have no idea. So, yeah, that's the answer. Let me get to some comments here. Let's see. Blair, for those of asking about the Middle Fork, maybe they should check out the Middle Fork Maine Salmon. Yeah, so there's Blair's talking about a Facebook group called Middle Fork Maine Salmon Hells Canyon. There's tons of video there. You can see the video. All I'm going to tell you is the rapids are going to probably change. They've already changed within a week. Like it went from some nasty hole that everybody's afraid of to like it's a kind of a clean shot. But there's probably going to change again. So if you want advice, join that Middle Fork Maine Salmon Hells Canyon Facebook page. And there's tons of videos and people just saying, yeah, it's good to go. But if you're asking me what I think, I don't know. Have you seen the video of the people that ran it one day? Have you seen the video of people that ran it in one day? I think it was on Instagram, but maybe on YouTube too. It took them 13 hours for, yeah, that's a big day. The whole middle fork in a day. Yeah, that's a big day. If you just get in the current and go, I'm sure it can happen. Yeah, that's cool. There's tons of videos. So like I'm sure some people come to me because I run the river and they think I have some secret information about what's happening. And I have a YouTube channel, but there are a zillion resources out here. You can watch all the kinds of Instagram reels and Facebook videos. And there's tons of people. Go to YouTube. Tons of people who have actually been down the Middle Fork have posted their videos. You can watch all these videos. I just want to be really clear. It's going to change. Maybe it won't, but like this is a dynamic rapid. These are new landslides that just happened last August. When the river rises, things shift. And so you might think like, oh, I saw a video of it from June, whatever today is, June 4th, and we're going to, on our June 16th, it's going to be great. And then you're going to, you know, in 3 days before your trip, you're going to have high water, and it's going to rearrange everything, and that won't happen. And so this is the nature of boating. And I think a lot of people, a lot of boaters, you know, expect the middle fork to be just chill. It's just like a nice class three plus trip. And it's just like, it's just always the same. Let's run it. And we can just go every year. And that's not this year. It's a dynamic river. It's a, especially this year. It was last year. There were landslides that we were doing. There were new rapids last year we were worried about. The new Velvet last year. There was a new Velvet last year. There was a new, or the entrance to Velvet. There was a new Ramshorn. You know, we were, a year ago, we were worried about those. Those were small landslides. These were much bigger at more consequential places. So, okay. Move on. Heidi, thanks for keeping that real. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that people get upset when I say I don't know, but, like, I don't know this stuff. I can't predict the future. And I've been boating long enough, and I've been doing this long enough to where, like, I just don't, like, I know these things change. And the more we can talk about all we want to 2 weeks ahead of time, what matters is when we launch. That's what matters. And if you don't have the skills to handle issues or the physical strength, the potential, if you get there and you may have to portage, like you may, the day before, there are going to people be like, oh, we ran it, it was good. Because things are shifting, you could get there and have to portage. If your team isn't physically fit enough to potentially portage everything, you're exposed. Like, you, if there's a river-wide log all of a sudden, what are you just going to camp above it? Or what are you going to do? So I think this is a year where you need to go into it as this is a serious undertaking. Again, do we have the right equipment, the right people, the right team? Are people physically fit to go into a river that's dynamic, that has several significant hazards, and are people good boaters? I watch a lot of people just think you push everything, like, oh, I'm use the current, go with the flow, just track down things. And that works a lot of the time. But when you're dodging logs, you better have a strong pull stroke, maybe a downstream ferry, know when to use it. If you think you're just going to get on your oar boat and just like point it and do some pushing and go past these log jams, you're insane. Like, in my opinion, I should not call you insane. I think you're insane. You're probably whatever you are. Tim, man, I don't get links through this. So unfortunately that didn't work, but I guess I'll just tell everybody, like, go search, like, if you were doing a trip, go to find these Facebook pages, go find these YouTube channels, find these Instagram things. If you're a person like, I don't do Facebook because Facebook steals your data and whatever, like, I don't know, ask a friend to do it for you, or you've made a choice to ignore where the information is. Okay. So that's my answer to all the questions that are more or less this question. And Willie, a few more comments. Just get on the river, wear a life jacket, and don't drink. Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. I'm Willie Bum Bum, are you specifically referring to the Middle Fork this year or just in general? But yeah, I mean, honestly, if you want to be safe, 90% of it is wear a life jacket, don't drink, don't boat alone. And there's one more thing. I think avoiding man-made objects is the fourth. Yeah, avoid man-made objects. Those are the four things where I'm just like, do those things and you're doing most of it. Those of you that are like going to put on the Middle Fork and deal with this, and you have your little astral PFDs and you're, you know, over 200 pounds and you're having a few beers during the day, that's, I don't know. That's, again, I think that's insane. Thomas, sea mount clamps aren't any thicker than U-bolt. Interesting. Interesting, Thomas. I'll have to go look at mine again. Yeah, interesting. They look thicker, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay, more comments. Have you made it to Loxa? I haven't. It's so far for me. It's 7 hours away. And I've been running trips nonstop, like classes and trips nonstop. So I haven't had a chance to get out there. So I probably won't make it out there. And then it's not only Hills Half Mile and Velvet. Don't think about Murphs. Yeah, I mean, that Jay, that's, you know, very astute comment. Jay is our resident, you know, expert commenter here. What happens too is we get so focused on a hazard and we forget about the real hazard, which, I mean, they're all real hazards, but we forget about the hazards we should worry about, which is Murph's Hole at mile 0.9, which flips a lot of boats at high water. Right now, whatever the, what's the flow again? At this like 5.5 range, when it's 6, looks like it might be 6 next week. And, you know, I think I would say like 4.75 and above. Murph's is a place where a lot of people go in kind of not getting ready for it and they flip. For me, I'm going to, the night before a trip at high water or even medium high, I'm going to walk down from boundary. I'm going to look at Mervs and make sure I know the line because it'll catch you off guard. And then you flip at mile 0.9, the river is like nonstop below there. There's not really a place to pull over. And you know, people have died flipping at Mervs because they stay in the water too long. So I would take Mervs Hole pretty seriously. Apparently there's a logging powerhouse. Yeah. There's a log. So there's a log jam. So I think what Mike's referring to, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a log sticking out from the right, which it seems from the videos I've seen, like it's pretty easy to avoid. And it's above the water. We're talking about one specific log right now. That's like 3 feet above the water where it's not one where you would get pinned in necessarily. It would just like take you out. You just hit it and it would like hit you really hard. But below there, from the videos I've seen, there's a bunch of log jams that you really need to miss. And it looks like, maybe I'll pull some video up. I can see if I can find the video. Give me a second, everyone. I'm going to go back to my question thing. I'm going to see if I can find, Middle Fork. There's one called New Velvet that I really like. Some cap owners. Here we go. Let's pull this up. Getting ads. Please wait. For those of you that are listening to this as a podcast, I'm sorry. I have a podcast, so you can't listen to it. This is meant to be a video show, so we're gonna watch a video. And okay, here we go. Let me put this on here. You're just gonna have to do your best to listen. So this is okay. So just so we're not kinds of ads and things. So just to be clear, see if I can make this bigger. There we go. I think there's a log. I think this is the log Mike's referring to. Do you see my cursor over there? And before we go down this path of watching this video, I just want to remind everybody, we're going to watch a video of what the Middle Fork of the Salmon was 5-6 days ago, May 29th. These are dynamic rapids. These rapids are changing. The wood is moving, especially with the higher water. So this is not, maybe this is what it's going to look like in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Who knows? But you should not expect this to be what they look like when you get there on your trip. So I think, again, see a log right there. It's not one you would, it's right here. It doesn't look like one you would get pinned on, but you wouldn't want to go in there full speed and take a log to the chest. That would be pretty painful. So you really want to get left of that log, which seems like it's that one right there. Yeah, that would be painful. Seems to me like it's pretty easy to miss that. But here's where, right here, I think you really want to get left. And so there's kind of a big wavy thing there. You really want to go down that left channel, and this cap boater is going to go down the right channel. So just to go back, you can see, and to get left here, to go down that left channel, this is where you can't push your way over there. And I was with a guide in a boat one time where they tried to push a move like this and they just got destroyed. This is why I'm so annoyed and why Brody is so annoyed. Some of you seen Brody's PSA video. Like when people just push all the time, like it doesn't matter who you are. You're not going to push to that left channel. This is where you turn the boat 90 degrees of the current and just yard that boat to the left. That's how you get left. Now, this boater doesn't do that, which is fine. There's another line, it looks like. Right here, that's what you want to try to do. He's doing the right thing. He's about 90 degrees. And he's just going to maybe, and it can be less. It can be like 80 degrees, whatever it is. You want to pull, but he needed to pull harder and earlier. And he could have got left. I saw a video of the sweep boat running this line. And the sweep boat just pointed at that sweep to the left and just fought to get over there. This is if you don't get left, all this log dodging. Now, there's certainly a line here, it looks like. But you can see, and so that you can see right here, this is where I think ideally you want to go. This is where I saw a video of the sweep and other butters go. You just have to be able to get left. This rightish line, and I really appreciate this boater, even though he didn't go where I would have gone, all this pulling is just smart. It's smart boating, especially in stuff like this. There's a line to the danger. He's pointing to the line and pulling away. This is smart defensive boating. But I mean, that's not a pretty place. That's not a place you want to be. That's why I'm saying getting left is good. If I had commercial passengers and I'm in a paddle boat right now, I'm a little nervous. I mean, it should keep them from swimming, but I really want to avoid this whole, the whole tree dodging incident right there. But good line. That's all. Then this boater, like, you know, signaling, does look like the right length oars. Stuff looks well rigged. I love the way this guy boats. Like, I'm super into it. Like, looking back, giving lines, like, yeah. I think that NRS PFD is the one that's higher, a little higher flotation. I think that's the Zen with like 18 pounds. Who knows? So anyway, we got through there. That video is hell's. I was talking Powerhouse. That's right. Oh yeah. Sorry. My brain, sometimes I get Hell's and Powerhouse mixed up. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. There's a log in Powerhouse. I've heard it's not that hard to miss, but you want to be aware. But also all this wood that we're seeing here could easily go down and go anywhere. Yeah. Thanks, Mike, for clarifying that. Yeah. I mean, all this wood that is we're seeing now, the water's coming up, the water's higher right now. It could move it to any rapid downstream, and wood that's in Marsh Creek could come in and place itself here. So wood will be shifting quite a bit. Yeah. I think that's a Ninja PFD. Yeah. I don't know. Some of the new NRS PFDs look pretty interesting, actually. They have more flotation and they have flotation by size. Here's the new Velvet. There used to be, I love this video. I love his little graphic. At the top here, there was a really nasty hole just a week ago. And everybody's like, I know commercial guides that went in and portaged it in rafts because the hole was so nasty. And then a few days later, something shifted. So there's a hole right there where that boater is. And now it's just a big wave. And this doesn't seem like a crazy rapid. And it looks like somebody there is portaging on the right. So people are portaging it. But also, like, this is a pretty nasty swim. Like, if you have a flip here or a problem and somebody falls, they're going to swim a ways. Like it goes. And having some downstream safety, like, if that person flipped right there, who's going to rescue them? Like, that who? Is there some secret boat I don't know about down? I don't see a boat downstream. That person is on a swimming mission that goes on forever. So, yeah, and I don't think there used to be a bunch of wood downstream here, but I think it got moved. So luckily there's not a lot of wood downstream here. That would make this super dangerous. But oh, here, so that boat, this it looks like the second boat is safety for the first boat, which I wouldn't call adequate safety, but they made their choice. And that boat, I mean, that boat did great. I would have been super nervous in that little boat, especially with a cat boat portaging. I think there's video here of the person running it. I just really appreciate how this boater used a good combination of pushing and pulling and is not afraid to use oar rights. Like, what's the point of spinning oars right now? Like, there's... Like on that topic, like what's the point of being able to feather right now? Honestly, it's a disadvantage because if you're in this powerful current, this water, and it twists your blade, it could sink down. That's how oars break, is especially with spinnies, is they get turned sideways and up against the boat. Like, this boater is obviously a good boater and not afraid to use oar locks, even though everybody on the river is like, what are you doing with oar locks? What are you doing with your training wheels? Like, good on this guy. That's just solid boarding right there. Looks calm. Yeah, sweet. Yeah, I don't see any of the wood down here. Well, there was wood earlier making this pretty dangerous. This is where I would want convertible oar locks. Like, rapids like this. I mean, the first 10 miles, just throw the oar locks on. Or oar rights, convertible oar rights. The first, like, 10 miles, whatever, maybe 20 miles, throw the oar rights on. And then flip them over and just go spinny the rest of the trip. Okay, cool. Well, I think that's it for today's show. Oh, yeah, that's all the comments I had. Today's show. Thank you all for watching, for supporting the channel. I really appreciate it. I got a bunch of videos coming out. My friend Mark and I the other day, I made myself big. We spent the morning playing with pulleys and ropes and just swapping out pulleys, swapping out ropes. And we made some videos about it that I'm super jazzed on. So I think you all will too. If you're members, all four of the videos are ready to go. You can just watch them now. And to be a member, you pay a couple bucks. a month and you get some privileges. I throw up extra videos here and there, and I'm way more likely to answer your question because I'm like, oh, they're a member. I should probably answer the question. I'll probably answer everybody's question, but I'm just very more likely to answer members' questions. But all four videos are ready to go if you're a member. The other ones I'm just going to have go out every few days over the next, I think, 2 weeks. There's four videos. And it was fun. We tried out a bunch of pulleys and ropes and just saw what was more efficient and less efficient. So look to those. And Willy Bum Bum, yeah, see ya. Yeah, hit that like button. Hit that subscribe. I really want to get more subscribers. We're at like 13,000 now, 12,800. And I want to beat NRS. NRS is like 22,000, 23,000, something like that. I got a ways to go, but I can't do it without the subscribe button. So thank you. And yeah, thanks for the nice words. I appreciate it. I feel like I'm this show, I'm kind of on a rant a little bit. And so I appreciate the good feedback because, yeah, it's good to hear you're enjoying the content. It's fun to do. And I appreciate, I love answering the questions. That's super fun. And I love doing videos where I get to go down some path and I get to learn something, explore. Like the videos I just talked about, the 3-to-1 videos we just did, I learned a ton. It was super fun. And we may not have done them if we weren't motivated by the let's make some videos. So yeah, thank you. And oh, Heidi, 100%. And when we did the 3-to-1 tests, the Rock Exotica pulleys crushed everybody. Like just crushed. I'm a huge fan. Like it's just the best stuff. Like I'm going to go to the store now. Cause let me see if I can go here. Bring it up here. River Hardware. I'm obsessed with my little River Hardware store. I'm going to bring it up for those of you that want to see it. How do I get back into that? There we go. River Hardware. And, I've been just selling stuff. I think that like, I feel like there's a lot of gear. I see it in my classes. People show up with weird gear. They bought like a throw bag that's just terrible, or carabiners, they're just terrible. Or I was boating with some guys today and they had the really crappy pulleys. Do I have one here? No, there's like little tiny SMC pulleys. They're just awful. And so I just see really bad equipment that, and people just buy it because that's what NRS sells, or like, I don't know, their friend told them to buy, or somebody else said. And I use this stuff a lot, and I just know what's really good. So my goal here with River Hardware is like, let me source the best stuff and just make it available. And like that's, I started with a lot of these throw bags, which I import from Hungary. I just think they're the best, and they're really hard for people to get. But on that topic, it was really hard to set up a deal with Rock Exotica, but I finally got some Rock Exotica carabiners. I have some of these in stock. I love these carabiners. These pirate carabiners are sweet. And I have one pulley left of my like stock that I had, but I just ordered a bunch of these and I won't get them till the end of July. But in our tests, we found that these pulleys just efficiency wise crushed everything. You'll see in the videos that come out, they just crushed everything. And even this mini machine one, which isn't even that big, this one like crushed ones with bigger diameters that people are using all the time. Bigger diameter, pulley, whatever they're called, pulley wheel, they're sealed bearings and they're just really good bearings. So Rock Exotica just makes great stuff. So I'm selling some other things and I have these Cobra. I'm on like a whole commercial. I am obsessed with my store, so I'm going to talk about it. I have 5 of these left. I bought 40 of them. I have 5 left. I probably won't get any more of them until the earliest would be October. So if you want one of these like super light, super strong slings, they sold so fast that I'm trying to see if I can source some and have some made somehow. There's just the minimums are like 5,000 pieces. It's kind of insane. So I'm trying to figure out how to source some of these. But if you want these palm ones, I have 5 left on the store. But thanks for asking, Heidi. Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of Rock Exotica. And I'm obsessed with my store. Popped an Orit pistol, convinced me to switch to Pins and Clips, never going back. Dude, I love that, Mike. That's so sick. And I was boating with my friend Tyler today, and he ran Pins and Clips for his first time. And, you know, he missed – oh, he was running the wind. I think he said the wind. And the oar got squirrely, and he's just like, why do I need to deal with that on real whitewater? So, yeah, I mean, I would say, like, this is my take, though, and you all probably heard my rant. On, like, class 4 and 5, I want Pins and Clips. On class 2 and 3, I want open oar locks. I want to be able to feather. Like in the Grand Canyon, if I don't, and now if I had pins and clips in the Grand Canyon, I'd be fine. If you give me pins and clips anywhere, whatever, I'll row that. But if I'm on the Tuolumne, Illinois, Cherry Creek, the wind at high water, the wind at all, I just want pins and clips. It's a better setup for that kind of run. But if I'm doing a middle fork trip at like, in the middle fork, at like 5-6 feet, I want pins and clips. I want to just be able to pull and not worry about anything. But at like the Rogue, the middle fork at low water, I do like feather. The Grand Canyon, I do really like feathering. It's a cool feel. I would want that. So my take is pins and clips for class 4 and 5, open or locks for class 2 and 3. And then in between, use the little O-ready things, the convertible O-rights, where you can switch back and forth. Yeah, I mean, Heidi Mark's the one that introduced me to Rock Exotica stuff the first time. And I mean, I bought a bunch of their stuff. Do I have anything right here? Yeah, I have these. I have these coming too. These Rock Exotica Rock D carabiners. I ordered a bunch of them. These are so sweet. I mean, I'm really stoked on them. I don't know if you can tell, but they open at a little bit of an angle, which gives you more room to get stuff in there. But they're not coming until July either. Like, their stuff is so good, it's just sold out. So it's hard to source. It's been very difficult to create a wholesale account with them. And I had to order like $4,000 worth of stuff for the first order. So it was really hard to set this up, and it's really hard to get stuff from them. But it's the best stuff. And that's my goal, is to, like, on River Hardware, it's just the best stuff. If you want the so-so stuff, like, that's for sale somewhere. But if you want to just, like, right away have the good stuff, that's what we have for sale. All right, Sawyer, did some rowing training as a trainer over Memorial Day weekend in the Klamath. Everybody loved the pins and clips bait. the ash shores are brutal, like brutal. I mean, pins and clips, it's like everything. I don't know. It depends on the passion, the people you learn from, and what you learn on. And you kind of get attached to that. But the ash oars are tough in this day and age. Like, it's hard to get people to use ash oars. We even have people think that our, like, lightweight Sawyers are too heavy sometimes. So that's just reality. Ooh, the Rock Exotica Pirate Orca. Now, so Heidi, I didn't get some of those. I bring those up. Pirate Orca. And remind me why the Pirate Orca is better. This Mark has been using these. Let me go back to the thing. Mark has been using these. They look cool. I really like the orange and the blue. I'm just going to say, they look cool, 100%. And they say advanced users only. And I think that's because you need to be an advanced user. Oh, because this can, the difference is, yeah, I'm reading right here. The Orca is a unique gate system that lifts up and twists like many traditional auto locks, but can be set to remain in the unlocked position. So this is a locking carabiner that can sometimes be an unlocking carabiner. This allows the gate to open easily, just like a non-locker, but close with a security auto lock. So I just don't think that's an advantage to us. And Mark has a bunch of them, and I didn't really talk to him about why he likes these. They do look cool, and they do say advanced users only. And that's a key thing, is like, you need to know what you're doing so that it's locking. It locks on you. You don't want it to be a non-locker. So I didn't order those when I ordered carabiners. I got the Pirates, which are just sweet carabiners. They're just solid. Dude, I agree on your pins versus or locks, but switching between them is impractical. One has to choose. No, you can do both. I switch between them all the time. That's not impractical. I mean, it's a lot of work. You have to, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true, because you have to have different oars. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I have a lot of oars, so I just grab the pins and clips sometimes, and I grab the oar locks. But I think for most people, that's a lot. That's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah, that's where maybe – and I know of a guy who's working on some – that's where, like, the little bungees on the oars, which nobody's selling right now. But I've been talking to a guy who's about to start selling a new system for oar locks, where they bungee on and they hold you in the boat. A big advantage of pins and clips, and I would almost say the main advantage, is that when you get tossed out of the boat, your oar can hold, something to hold on to. With an oar lock, it keeps going with you and you fall out. With a pin and clip, it generally holds. If you have one of those bungee things, it'll hold you in better. So I think maybe the future is or locks the bungee things. I'm set on pins and clips. Pins and clips are so precise, so beautiful. Like, I just love him. I'm probably not going to switch for harder stuff. But again, if you gave me Orlocks on the wind today, I'd be like, cool. Well, I'll run Orlocks. And I've on the wind before, I've run one Orlock, one pin and clip. Like, it, I don't know. I can find with either one. I just have a preference on different types of water. Yeah, they're strong. Actually, yeah, you could tow a vehicle. They're very strong. D-ring. Can't tow. Okay. Orites are a half measure. Sure. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think that. Sure. A lot of people call them training wheels. A lot of people are like, orites are like, you got to learn the feather and whatever. You're welcome to have that opinion. I can tell you the people who I think are the most prolific, badass class 5+ cap loaders that have ever existed are run orites. So if you're going to go run like the absolute gnar, you're going to run orites. So I would say orites are good for people that like the boat 3 times a year, 4 times a year, once a year, because they don't have the time to get down like the whole thing. So if you don't boat that much, they're great. And as you get better, it is really nice to feather. And that's really good until you get to class 4. And then the feathering can be somewhat problematic. Now, a really good oars person can use open oar locks in class 4, and they're fine. But if you're only boating again a few times a year, it's a problem. But then once you get to like class 5 and above, you really need to keep your blade straight. Like the feathering doesn't really matter. So like you may think they're half measure. They're a tool that are incredibly useful for a lot of situations. And in my mind, like the show and what I talk about is it, and this is how I view it, is people who are like wanting to or currently boating class 4 and 5. If your limit is class 3 and that's all you ever do, my whole Gear Garage show, a lot of what I talk about in terms of rowing, doesn't necessarily apply to you because you're just doing class 3. You could have the wrong size oar, the wrong everything, and do fine probably. And so there's nuance to the value of orites as you start thinking about more difficult rivers. So yeah, Jake, I forget that. Like I have so many, yeah. I have a lot of gear to choose from. With our rights, you don't get that wabam when you pop your oar back in. Yeah, so, I mean, that's one thing. I did that. I rode today with Pence Eclipse, and I popped an oar, and I just go, ba-bam, back in. It feels so good, especially if it's mid-rapid. You just pop an oar out, and you just throw it back in. It is – I'm way into it. So here is – are you speaking millennial right now? I have no idea which, or millennial, or yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Boating ASMR. I don't know. I'm gonna try to feather with convertible orites. You can't. I mean, when I take the orites and pop them over and I'm full spinny, I feather all the time. But when the orites are on, you can't really feather. Convertible orites and bungees. Yeah, I mean, I think that's so the dudes who I used to bow with, who I'm claiming these guys are the best like boaters that have ever cap boated. I mean, this is like people hanging out with Ted Day. This is Dave Nissen, Will Conley, and I forget the guy's name who wrote the book. He did this to Keen in a creature craft after trying in a cap boat. He did Devil's Cane. What's his name? And those three guys went and did like South Merced, Middle Feather, like. They were prolific. They did all kinds of big stuff. I don't think they even ran convertibles. They ran orites and bungees. And it's a solid setup because you don't, in big water, you just want to be able to yard on the oar so the oar stays in its place, and the bungees would keep them in the boat if the thing came out. So I think that somebody is about to make these new bungee holder things that keep the oar in, that keeps you from, again, you watch people row in videos and they slide out the side in their little spinnies. That's when you start applying class 3 technology to class 4 and 5, it gets in trouble. No half shipping. Yeah, the same thing too. Like, man, don't get me started on this. Like, people are rowing and they pull the oars in like this, and they think that's good technique. And so with Pence Eclipse, you have to learn how to ship correctly, which is shipping is handles back, blades forward. It creates better habits. Yeah, Mark Kramer. Yeah, so Will Conley, Mark Kramer, and Dave Nissen, those dudes, they did the big. They went after it. They got after it, and I got a boat with them a bit, and they know what they're doing. And those guys are running all right. So yeah, when you go boat some of those rivers, they did, and we'll talk. There's very little you can't do. Yeah. Yep. The angle of the oars dictates the feather. I can't feather my oar to oar tower angle. I don't know what any of that means. I could probably feather with your boat, ID. It's just, I mean, learning to feather is just, honestly, just practice. You're out there a bazillion hours and you're like, oh, I can just start doing this thing. And just, it's this whole motion where you just kind of like do this and it feels really good to feather back. And it's just from a bazillion hours of doing it. Cool. Lots of good comments. Well, I think this is it. We're going to end the show today. I'll be back next Tuesday and then maybe off for a couple of weeks because I'm headed to Idaho. So if you have questions, submit them during the week. And thanks for all the great. I love this. This is really fun for me when we can have a conversation through the chat. So thank you all for leaving comments in the chat. And yeah, see you all next week. Let me find my outro. Here we go. Where's the outro? I'll do the old outro. I like the old outro. Wait, where's the old outro? Oh, here we go.